This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
You could do it, B. You hear that?
What?
That's you.
Who?
Telling you, you could do it.
For real?
Hell yeah, that's me. I'm talking to you, but I'm you.
Who is you?
You!
I don't think I can do it.
Hey man, well, you know what you need to do? Get in the conversation.
In the conversation.
Time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon, crazy's Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo, my cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, it is In the Conversation. This is Damian Lemon, and as always, on my right hand side, I got
El Capitán, El Coronel, El Alcalde. Vladimir Camaño.
Okay, coming live and direct from the broom closet.
Yep.
On the left hand side, I got.
You got the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad, in the building.
Quick, huh? Quick to the point. I like that one.
Nah, you know, I had to spice it up a little bit.
Switch it up.
You said I was light FM. I had to, you know what I'm saying, go hot 9-7 on you.
Okay, there you go. You did a drop.
Next week, I'm going to be flex.
Okay, all right. All right, that's what we're going to be talking in all caps.
All caps.
There it is.
Exclamations.
What's going on? We got Chris in the building as well. What's going on with y'all?
Everything. We are doing well. As you know, this is always the highlight of my week.
Ah, there it is, man. I'm glad.
So I'm excited to be here, man. I got a positive note, I got a dishwasher in my apartment.
Oh, really?
And yeah, it was a bit weird using it, man, because I had some working class anxiety behind using it.
About the dishwasher? What was the working inside of? What's the working class anxiety?
Yeah. You know, I grew up, you know, sponging and a little dermassage. Did you ever use dermassage?
Nah, but
nah, that sounds like a Spanish dishwashing product?
It'll be on sale at the bodega. They sell it for $1, you know what I mean?
No doubt.
Dermassage.
It's called dermassage. And
that sounds like a skin. It's like a fucking illegal massage parlor. That's what it sounds like in Germany somewhere. But go ahead. So
I got this, you know, so I've been using it, and I got to tell you, man, like, the dishes have never been cleaner, brother.
Yeah?
And it's been like a secret. Like, I don't tell anybody up until now that I've been using a dishwasher because I got this, I don't want to feel like I'm bougie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it ain't a maid, though. It's not. Did you tell your family?
No, I know.
Tell your parents you got a dishwasher?
Nah, they don't know yet. If I tell them that, they're gonna be like, oh, he's LA now.
Who's gonna take it worse, your father or your mother?
My mom will be happy. I think they'll take it fine. I think my brother will probably make a little fun of me.
Okay. Are you LA yet? You think you LA? You think this man is LA over here?
Or? I mean, yeah, let's see how he feel.
You LA?
I think. But define that. What does that mean?
I don't
define,
you was about to
your definition
yourself.
Of are you LA?
No, because
you what
I
what
find is,
what you be?
I was hanging out with Sherrod one night. Sherrod Small was a comic.
Yep.
And we had this conversation about that positive attributes are associated with LA. So I came back. I lost some weight.
Okay.
I got a little muscle, and he's like, "Oh, you LA now?"
Uh huh. Uh huh. Hilarious.
And then you start doing negative habits, like, "Oh, you okay? You back in New York?" You know.
Okay. Well, nah. What do you think LA is?
I think LA is it's taught me a lot, man. It's taught me a lot. Hollywood is it's a saying that someone told me. Hollywood is rapidly fast, wildly slow.
He Tom Brady'd your ass.
And he dodged the shit out of that question. I said, "What do you think LA?" Well, LA has taught me something.
It is very Hollywood.
I said,
Hollywood.
"What do you think LA is?" You were saying that you thought the dishwasher
LA
was LA.
LA is great, man. I think right. You know, I think NY is always in my heart, but the lifestyle is just so much. Aside from the traffic, the lifestyle is a little more easygoing out here, man.
And he doing everything in his possibility to not say he Hollywood.
I'm not Hollywood. I got too much of a working class background in me to be Hollywood. I guess I'm Hollywood. I don't know. I do think the lifestyle is better out here, though, man. I'll say that.
So that's the first step in admitting your
lifestyle. The lifestyle is better out here, man. It's less stressful. Again, outside the traffic, it's less stressful.
Uh-huh.
What's better?
Phone connections, you know, is horrible.
Just, So when you get back, you're gonna be mad. You're gonna be mad at every restaurant that doesn't have valet.
Well, you know, I don't drive valet, so.
I thought you was getting a Prius.
I've been Ubering everywhere.
I thought you was getting a Prius.
I'm thinking about it. It hasn't happened yet. I'm thinking about it.
Oh, okay. You're gonna have to get a whip.
It hasn't happened yet.
That Uber budget gonna get crazy. You know,
speaking of Uber, we've all taken jobs to earn extra cash. You know, back in the day, man, I handed out flyers in the street. I done flipped burgers. I done worked at a shoe store. I done a bunch of different things. But I've got a better way you can earn extra money on the side. It's so much easier today thanks to Uber. Uber's the ultimate side hustle. Driving with Uber is the new way you can earn extra cash whenever you want. It's not just another J-O-B. It's a totally flexible way to earn. You can turn it on and off just like your car. If you have any spare hours here or there, drive with Uber. Have you ever wanted to be your own boss? I bet you make a great boss. Drive with Uber and you are your own boss. Shout out to Dame Dash. If you're driving right now, you should be earning right now. Every day is a payday when you drive with Uber because you can cash out anytime with instant pay. Did you know that, Ali?
Anytime.
Instant pay. With access to instant pay, Vlad, did you know with access to instant pay, cash out your earnings up to 5 times a day with no minimum amount required? Did you know that, Vlad?
I had no idea.
Yeah, man. Listen, if you enjoy earning cash, if there's something special you'd like to buy, your car could start making you money. So go ahead, get your side hustle on. Sign up to drive with Uber today. Go to uber.com/drive now. That's uber.com/drive now. U-B-E-R. U-B-E-R, right? I spelled it right the first time. .com/drive now. Vlad, you dodged that question better than Tom Brady dodged that question. You dodged that question.
That is hilarious.
Did you see Tom Brady dodge that Donald Trump question?
I didn't watch it yet, but I heard about it.
Man, it was smooth. It was smooth.
What was the question?
The question was, they asked Tom Brady, because you know Tom Brady is cool with Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people think that he endorsed Donald Trump, but he didn't. He's just very cool with him. Mm-hmm. So anyway, they said, yo, Donald Trump says a lot about locker room talk. What are you and your kids? Is that the locker room talk that you talk about? Or something like that. And he kind of laughed, like, ha, 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 and just stepped off. And then it was smooth. I'm not going to lie. He laughed it off, cooled out, said thank you guys, and left. And then, you know, he kind of got a little bit of attack because people felt like he eluded the question. He's linked with Trump. He's arguably one of the best players in the NFL right now, you know. I mean, and he hasn't endorsed Trump, but people feel like he's at least kind of, he's a friend. Right. He's on record as being a friend, so people felt like he should have spoke to that, you know.
I don't agree with, you know what I'm saying, a sports figure is supposed to answer every question and have an opinion on every fucking political or socioeconomic question that they hit with.
True.
You know what I'm saying? First of all, it's always a trap. It ain't never, you know what I'm saying, if you answer it all the way right, you're still going to be 50% wrong, 50% right. You know what I'm saying? You're going to still get a little hate from one side or the opinion, and you're going to get love from the other side. So, you know what I'm saying? If you are the leader of the team, it's really no win in answering that question.
Well, that's exactly what he said. He said he doesn't ever want to – he doesn't want to make headlines. He tries not to make headlines. He doesn't want to be a distraction to the team. Mm-hmm. He says, you know, whatever he does is whatever he does, which I agree with that order on a certain level. I agree with that on a certain level. Look, you could say whatever. I'm not even mad at you dodged. You say, hey, fucking, I don't want to answer the question. But I felt like he did put that in the world. The reason that we know he fucked with Donald Trump is I thought he said something about he's voting for Trump a while ago. So if you publicly link yourself to the presidential candidate, you know what I mean, on the day before they're going to do this this final debate, mm-hmm. I think it's kind of fair enough. If I know that that's your man. You've gone on record saying that you mm-hmm. rock with him. And it's so, like, this locker room is such an ill transition. Mm-hmm. It's no more synergy than that. I gotta shoot my shot.
Yeah, you. It's no problem. Right. It's fair game to shoot a shot.
Okay, that's all I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying? But it's also in the, you know what I'm saying, in the Constitution that I plead the fifth.
Yeah.
The fifth, fifth.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You ain't got to answer all that shit, man. You know, it'd be the ones who take that bait And then they get hung up out there on some shit, talking out the side of their neck because they ain't all the way prepared for the answer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, shit, be, you know what I mean? If you got something to say and you really feel strongly about some shit, yeah, say, talk your shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Know what you want to say.
Know which, but that's the thing. You know what I'm saying? You get out there half cocked and shit. His publicist probably on the side like, get the fuck out of here, man. Let's go.
Let me ask you this, though. Do you judge people by, do you talk politics with people casually? And then two, do you judge people by their political leanings?
Nowadays, I do.
Because you feel like, it's, why?
Yeah, I think now more than ever, yeah.
It's so fucking extreme right now. They right. playing, ever since the invention of the Tea Party.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When they brought the Tea Party out with Obama, you started to really see, like, different shit that you might not like about somebody.
Right.
About how they feel about some shit.
Right.
Like, wait a minute. If you feel about that, then how you feel about me?
Right.
No, you cool.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Until I leave, and then I'm another one of them.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? I don't talk politics, you know what I'm saying, on my day-to-day or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not, you know
even what I'm right I'm, around now where everyone's talking
nah,
politics?
Even especially right around now because it's some bullshit right now.
Okay.
And the talk around the politics is 90% not even about the politics. It's about, you know what I'm saying, these stunts here and these stunts there and this innuendo and these tapes and, you know what I'm saying? That's not really the meat of who talking about the issues. You know what I'm saying? I don't hear nobody talking about issues and shit. You know what I mean? If you're going to talk politics, I mean, it's more importantly to be talking on the local level. You know what I'm saying? Who's making the decisions around the place where you at going up? But, you know what I'm saying? Most of the time that political talk don't be about shit. Nothing but, you know what I'm saying, something else to fuss about. I got some other shit we could be fussing about.
So you prefer not to. Now, Vlad, you were at the stand. They were doing a debate watching party at the stand. Obviously, I believe you were performing that night, too. But, one, do you talk politics? And do you judge people at where they stand politically?
I think as you get more mature, you got to be able to have conversations with people on different sides of the spectrum.
Right.
Because I find that a lot of these conversations, they get so emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't really talk about why someone is on the camp that they are and have a real conversation about it. The problem right now is that when you got somebody like Trump, you know, it's almost like, I think one of us is going to talk about the Amy Schumer incident.
Maybe. Yeah, we're going to talk about it, but go ahead.
Amy Schumer had an incident where she walked up because she was, you know, she's anti-Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And people got emotional. They started booing her. And they walked out the show.
Mm-hmm.
In this particular case, in this particular political climate, the very conversation about Trump almost leaves a lot of people dumbfounded because they can't comprehend how someone could vote for that guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like, you know, if someone says Trump, it's like what? Like it's just like how can you go that route?
Mm-hmm.
So Trump makes it hard, man, because he says some things, you know. That make it hard for people to have like actual conversations like, oh, so why do you believe in trickle-down economics? Or why do you believe in gun control? Or why do you believe in abortions?
Mm-hmm.
Right now it's like, dude, this dude said that Mexicans are rapists.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, I think the current political climate is like, it's just, it goes from 0 to 60 like real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no actual conversation about the issues and politics. Of course I talk politics, but like it's, right now it's impossible to do that.
So you do or you don't? You said it's impossible, or what are you saying?
I do. It's, but right now it's impossible. Right now, but I do have political conversation. Right now, it's almost like it's impossible because Trump is just way too inflammatory. Like he's talking about the election is rigged right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's way too inflammatory for people to have actual like meaningful conversations about issues. I find.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, you know what? It's. I think it's impossible to have a conversation. I think it's hard to believe. Especially if someone of color to be like, you know, pro Trump or whatever, or certain people. But at the same time, the motherfucker is like, it's almost ridiculous. It's like you gotta talk, you know, it's like World Star. You know how when you see some bullshit on World Star, you're like, I don't really wanna get this shit no light, but this shit is so crazy. This is some bullshit. I kinda wanna show somebody just to, so I know somebody else witnessed this bullshit. Right. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of what he's turned this whole shit into. It's embarrassing on a certain level. It's like he's almost like a mascot for a certain type of like hate, and you know what I mean?
Kind
like
of thought.
Yeah, absolutely. Like a certain kind of thought, but just like beyond just a certain kind of that thought, like just hate and fucking xenophobia. You know what I mean? Like it's just whole shit, misogyny. His whole shit is. It makes the whole. Like, if you looked at what Obama had to do to become president, right? And not just Obama, but just the general. I mean, just specifically Obama. It's my fact that, like, he had to deny his preacher. He had to, the motherfucker was having to refute accusations that he wasn't even a member of the country. Like, he wasn't born in the country, all types of shit. And he still kept his grace about him, blase, skip, you know. Trump is a, this motherfucker, like, it's embarrassing. Like, it makes you kind of not even really want to fuck with American politics, but it's almost like this is what America has. Do we deserve this? Is this what we've, this is what we've kind of, this is what we've been leading to? I don't even fuck up.
This is what we created.
We have, you know what I'm
saying? It ain't like he said that shit and we was like, damn, that shit crazy. And then it kept on going and then we just jumped on board. It was some motherfuckers that was on board from the door.
And
it's
people still on board.
Exactly. The raw it get, you know what I'm saying? We desensitized to the whole curtain effect. I think George Bush unveiled the whole shit. Because he was the first one that was not trying to hold shit together. Mm-hmm. He didn't give a fuck. He said whatever.
What's about Junior.
Okay. George W.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? He just, when you look at him and you listen to the shit that he used to say, it's like, yeah, damn, ain't no
filter,
no decorum in this shit no more. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no filter in this shit. No, it ain't no front to it no more. He just opened it all up like, yeah, this shit here crazy. So from that moment on, it just went downhill to me. And Trump just represents, you know what I'm saying, the thought process that, hey, if I can say this and it works, we're going to keep saying it. If this gets ratings, the news is going to keep playing it. You know what I'm saying? That's what America is. It's not just the people who support it. It's the whole system that's behind it.
The shit is like, it's like a reality show. It is, I think with the Bush, that's a good point where it might have started with Bush. I felt like what started with Bush was this whole idea of let's have a beer with the president. Remember, everybody was like, yo, I want to have a president. I can have a beer with.
Because he didn't have no front to it. It was just like, whatever.
Before that, I don't think I even expected to ever meet the president.
Right.
Let alone have a beer. If I ever met, it might be in a move along situation. Hi, oh, Mr. President. All right, keep it going. They, you know. But now, it's not even.
Did they say keep it going, nigga?
No, I didn't say keep it going, nigga.
That's what it sounds like.
That's what it sounds like saying.
Yeah, keep it going, nigga.
Nah, depending on what president you be. But all I'm saying is now it became this, it's like any other thing. It's too casual. It's too fucking casual, man. It's bugged out. How you feeling over there, Chris?
Well, I just wanted to make a point. I mean, anytime W comes up, the interesting thing about W is that in the history of the country, he truly was one of the worst presidents that we're ever going to have. It was a horrible administration. He got in weird circumstances.
Yeah.
He was terrible. So every election after that and every president after that, the rhetoric, you could say, oh, this person's horrific, whatever. But people don't take it as seriously because they're sort of desensitized to it because of W.
Right.
So like when you go after Trump and you go, this guy's a danger to the country, they're like, well, whatever. You said that about W. But that was true then, and it is actually true now with Trump. But it's sort of a desensitizing thing, you know what I mean? Like people didn't feel that way about Romney. Like when Romney was going to be president, I didn't feel like he was going to end the country and we were going to all die. But there was people that were saying, well, this guy's horrific and he's terrible, but not in the same way that right. Bush or Trump would be, you know?
Well, let me ask you that. How much do you think that shit, like, what do you think the worst thing that could happen? Say, God forbid, your man got in. Trump got in. What do you think the worst, what do you think he could do?
I don't care, man. I don't want to envision no shit like that.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't want to know what's the worst shit he could do. I have no faith in him, man.
So I mean, I ain't got no faith in him either. In but what am I thinking? What do you think, Vlad?
It's funny because I was watching Ava DuVernay's documentary on Netflix called The 13th.
Yeah.
And have you seen it yet, Ali, Damien?
I saw it.
I haven't seen it yet.
I thought it was good the way she highlighted how the language that was used was kind of subtext for racial policies.
Yeah, like law and order and shit.
Yeah, law and order and criminalization was right. Really just ways of saying, you know, people of color in this country. And I think with Trump, if he gets into office, he will find subtext and ways to institute policies that I think would be disadvantaging, you know, people, poor people, basically.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't say it outright. But the fact that he got into office saying those things, I feel like he would go into office and just kind of shoot at the mouth and be like, yo, I got elected. I'm here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if he was to get in, I mean, you couldn't tell him shit.
You couldn't tell me. I think he would be so entitled in that seat.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think he'd be, like, irresponsive to any kind of feedback. He'd be like, nah, I'm good, brother. I got here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's already irresponsive.
You know what I mean? I was grabbing pussies. I was calling Mexican rapists, and I still got here. So, you know what? You got to say, I'm untouchable right now.
Yeah.
That's what I think he would do. That's what I think he would do. And the problem is, he's going up against Hillary, who Hillary just has this thing where people don't like her. A lot of people just don't like her.
Right.
So if it was a different candidate, maybe the conversation would be different. But because it's Hillary, it makes the conversation a little more complicated.
Right. Yeah. It's tough, man. It's tough. Nobody, you know. Obviously, you don't want
to. I mean, I don't know. Diaz, I'm sorry to cut you off, but the last debate, he accused Hillary of taking, like, performance-enhancing supplements.
The shit is ridiculous. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's embarrassing.
He said, I want her blood tested.
I want her to do a drug test. Yeah, he pulled the Mayweather.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Come on, fam. Like, what could she possibly be taking? A cup of coffee? Like, what, Adderall? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, then he said his mic wasn't working.
I mean, it's a circus, man.
It's crazy, man. It's embarrassing, dog, that we humor this shit. I kind of just want it to be over with. I'm hoping this shit don't, you know. I'm hoping this motherfucker gets, you know, he doesn't get voted in. You know what I mean? But it's ridiculous. Like, the shit it's crazy to me how far it's gotten still.
Man, what you think the worst shit could be?
I don't know what the worst. I mean, like what Vlad was saying, I think he could. First of all, I think if he was to get elected, he's super reckless, to Vlad's point. If he got there talking all of that shit and he didn't make no amends for none of this type of shit, he gonna try to do whatever the fuck he could do. I don't think that, I mean, through. I don't think certain shit would get paid. He'll try to do certain things, but, I mean, it'd just be fucked up for the, it'd be the worst look for the United States. First of all, for people, for black motherfuckers, it's going to be fucked up.
Why you say that?
Well, because I've seen his rap.
Yeah.
I've seen how he's already, I remember with the Central Park 5 when he put the shit out in, what was it, the Post? Mm. When he put out the whole big ass ad basically vilifying these kids who hadn't even been found guilty at that point. And then later on when they found that these kids was innocent, he ain't never say, yo, my bad, I fucked up, I was apologizing. You know, he's one of these people that knows how to stoke the flames of fear and play to like the narrative of the lowest common denominator. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and it's like he has no response. He has no respect for the office of the president. Oh, so it's like he has no respect for this. I don't think that they can really respect the job. I just think he wants the job based on the fact that that's the only thing that he doesn't have his name on.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the ultimate ego stroke, is to become the man, become the president of the United States. I don't think he's staked in trying to help this shit. You know?
But I mean, shit. I don't know too many presidents that did a whole lot for the minorities. I mean, I don't know too many that made it that good. You know what I'm saying?
That's my point too. Where it's like, on a certain level, I think this is the worst of the worst. It's like he's reprehensible. It was like, it's significantly worse than any other president. Reagan was terrible too.
Reagan was fucked. Reagan did the most. I don't know if Trump could be worse than Reagan.
I don't know if Trump could be worse than a lot of people, but it's like, at least to your point, Reagan ain't come out the gate looking like the villain.
But he just did the shit. He ain't said a motherfucking thing. He just did it.
That's the craziest shit. If a motherfucker coming out with the guns blazing and you still let him in the house.
Man.
It's different than somebody with a gun tucked in their jacket and you let them in the house and then they wind up shooting everybody. But if you let the motherfucker that's waving the gun, like, it looks crazier.
I just think the veil just off, man. We just seeing more of it. Yeah. Oh, they had sleight of hand.
I mean, it's getting crazy. You see what this mayor out in West York, Pennsylvania, this is a mayor in office, was on Facebook shitting on Obama with some racist shit, had a photo of some orangutans in a wagon talking about, yo, it's moving day with the Obamas.
Oh, man.
And then so when he got caught under fire, he just resigned. He didn't apologize. He didn't give a fuck. He also on his resignation, he was like, listen, he like negotiated his resignation. He was like, listen. I don't regret what I did, but I'll resign. And if I resign, I'd like you to put the police chief who you got suspended right now, put him back in office and I'll resign. Kind of shit is this? Like, I don't know, man. The shit is, it's embarrassing, man.
Everybody out here on their thing, man. You know what I'm saying? Everybody on their square, man, repping their program, man.
I guess it's good to see it, so you know what to contend with.
Damien, I'm just curious.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. Have you talked to your, like, I'm always curious about, like, older folks. Have you talked to your grandmother at all about this? Like, about politics? Like, the older folks?
I ain't talked to my grandmother about this. I've talked to my you know, my family. My brother-in-law, it's funny, because I think my brother-in-law, from the door, he hasn't really been surprised how far Trump has gone. Like, he live out in Long Island. He goes to the gym. He talks to a lot of, like, you know, his Long Island cats, like white guys out there who are cops and firefighters or whatever. And he sees how Trump kind of resonates with them. So he's not really that surprised by how far shit has gotten. And I'm like, I feel like I was a little bit more dismissive. So like, he likes to just reach out to me every so often, like, oh, you see what your man out here doing, right? You know what I mean? Like, I kind of wrote the cat off a long time ago. Because me thinking that, you know, America ain't going to go for nobody that's saying, yo, Mexicans is rapists, or we can't let Muslims into the country, or the blacks. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, you can't let this cat get this type of traction. Not in America. But shit. It's crazy.
But that's the gamble. That's the gamble he's taking. He's hoping that there's a bigger percentage of people that will say, yeah, let's ban Muslims. Mexicans are right. He's hoping that is the biggest percentage, and they're not. You know what I mean? Like, he's gambling on that, but he's not going to win.
I don't believe he's going to win either, but it's just like, you know, I'm still nervous. I'm still nervous because I'm nervous as shit about it because, you know. That's why I say, what's the worst thing that could happen? You know? Not to you want to even entertain any of that shit, but, you know, like,
well, he does get to name a Supreme Court. I mean, like, the next president will name a Supreme Court justice, right? Which isn't, you don't want that guy picking somebody that's going to, you know, be on the bench for 50 years or whatever.
Well, he did say he's going in the same vein as what Scalia was.
Right. So you don't want that. And on top of that, he does actually control nuclear weapons, which he's asked about. He talks about it. It's like he doesn't understand why we don't use them. Like, that's, yeah, it's out there, but it's possible if he becomes president. You know?
Right. Right. Anyway, man,
fuck Trump.
Yeah, there you go. Ah, shit. What else is going on? Let's talk about something good. Ali is fully disengaged from this shit.
Nah, man, shit. I was at some inspiring shit. Uh-oh. You know what I'm saying? I think you might be proud of me, Vlad.
What's up? What'd you do?
Man, we shot a thing for Pepsi last night. That was a celebration of Latin Heritage Month.
Oh, where was it at? What was the venue?
Your folks at the Cola. At the Cola House on 15th
How
Street.
How big was it?
Cola House is like a little, you know, Pepsi created a private club where they have a restaurant and club.
Oh, all
right. Yeah, that this. It's not branded with Pepsi shit, but you know what I'm saying? They funded it. They do events in there and shit like that. Mm. And they do private parties. So last night it was brisk. You know, they had a program called Brisk Mode that's targeted to artists who are doing their thing. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, the whole celebration was of Latin artists and, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, we had Latin DJs, Fat Joe perform. They had a panel of people that of Latino descent. So you had Lenny S on there from Rock Nation. You had Coco and Breezy who do the eyewear, internet popular. You had somebody from Spotify, somebody from Facebook. So it was dope, but, you know, it was interesting, you know what I'm saying, when that Suavemente came on.
It was a big look.
Yeah, that was big.
Hilarious.
That was like the Benjamins.
I was about to say, is that the Before I Let Go of the Latino community?
Yeah, that shit turned all the way
really
up. What does that song mean? Where's to the that? Community?
Yeah,
flat.
Which one is? What's it again?
Suavemente.
Suavemente.
Yeah.
It's like Suavemente, Besame. It's a romantic song. He's basically saying, kiss me softly.
But is that like, you know what I'm saying? When that come on, what happens?
So this is a great question. So that's a polarizing song.
Okay, why? Talk
polarizing
to
song. So for some people, it's like, oh, it's a classic. I rock with it, right?
Yeah.
And for some people, it's like this song is overdone and it's tacky, okay?
So it's like because, the electric slide.
Yeah, because it's not even that. Because it's one of those songs, like, as a Latino dude, right? Like, I've had this actually happen to me. Like, I'd be like, Dominican Republic is like, oh, suavemente. That's like the first thing they know.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel like it encompasses, you know, culture when it doesn't. Latinos come from so many different, you know, we're so varied in the spectrum, whether Guatemala, Puerto Rico. So we get annoyed because they try to use that as if, like, oh, I'm down with the Latinos. You know, we got suavemente, right?
So it's like the commercial reference? It's the quickest reference?
Yeah, it's like a blanket, like an umbrella term. So, but then the other side of it is, it's a cool song. You know, it got success. It went mainstream. So we give it up for the homie Elvis. His name is Elvis Crespo, the guy that did the
song.
Well,
you know, as an outsider, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's how outsiders be feeling about black people and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But. Right. As an outsider,
but it's
you know
a good
what I'm saying?
Song.
You could, right. You know, it might be polarizing, but shit, I would, when they put that motherfucker on, all the motherfuckers broke out with the salsa step, and you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
The Latinos was in the building.
Absolutely.
It was turned all the way
Absolutely.
Up, so, you know, it didn't look polarizing. That shit looked like the jam.
It was a white guy off to the side like, I told you! I told you!
And it wasn't like they put it on in a place where it was like, okay, here's the suavemente. It was just in the midst of the joint, you know what I'm saying? It
right.
came on.
It
and you know it's Camelo, so you know he hot 9-7. He know what it is. He a DJ. He do this shit.
Right.
When the shit came on, man, you know, I got proud, you know what I'm saying?
you knew this was going to resonate.
I'm like, okay, this it.
Shit.
I know a song I'm using in the video.
How old is that song?
Suavemente, man. That came out like when I was like in high school, I think.
Oh, it's not even that old then.
No, suavemente is like, I would say like 90s.
Oh, all right. All right.
It was like 98. I think it was 98.
Okay. I don't know why I thought it was a little like older. Maybe because I'm from the outside, like speaking as an outsider, the reverence that I see that shit when it come on, it's kind of like not my analogy is, you ever notice the regard for they reminisce over you when them horns come on?
Right.
Like it's like niggas damn near take their hat off.
Right.
When I see suavemente come on, like I've seen to your point, I've seen comics leverage it for what you know what I mean, for what it means to Latino audiences, you know what I mean? Like I've seen comics use that when they come out, blah, blah, blah. Like this is a big thing. Mm-hmm. And the response made it seem like it was a older song than it really is, but right. I mean, shit, I ain't know that. When did it come out, Chris?
It was 1998.
1998, yeah, Vlad.
I knew it. Yeah, I knew
but it. But it got that bass line, that same bass line at all. I don't know what the particular genre that is. This is like a certain bass line, because the first time I ever came to New York,
it's bachata.
I don't know what
is it. I don't know. I gotta hear it. Now.
No, it's a salsa song. It has the salsa rhythm. You know, the salsa rhythm, depending on how you dance it. And I'm only saying this because my brother's a salsa instructor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can break on different rhythms, but the more popular one right now is called Breaking on Two.
Uh-huh. Right.
So in the background, you should hear a bop, 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 bop. Bop, 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 and then that's what you dance to as the music is playing.
Oh, okay.
That's probably what you're responding to, Ali, when you say the baseline.
Like I said, first time I came to New York was 92, and I was staying in the Bronx with my cousin for the summer. And all you heard was that baseline all day out of every bodega, out of every car. You know what I'm saying? It was that same baseline, that bodega baseline. You know what I'm saying?
Hilarious.
And you know, I just took it for okay. That's what it is. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? Ali, now that I think about it, because I haven't heard the song in a while, the fact that you just said that, you know what it makes me think about?
What was that?
I'm almost positive that suavemente it's a merengue. It's not a salsa. It's a merengue.
Okay. Yeah, that's what they be.
And
playing.
The reason I say that is because.
Go ahead.
Because the reason I say that is because you saying that you recognize that bass line.
Mm-hmm.
because merengue songs are very cyclical. It's the same beat looped over and over.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way as certain hip-hop songs have that same beat loop. That's what it is. So keep going. I'm sorry. But I'm just saying
it was a certain kind of music that they would always be playing out of the bodega. Mm-hmm. That you know
what I'm saying? It's merengue.
So once you've been there for 2 months, you know what I'm saying? That's just stuck in your head. Like, you know what I'm saying? So you come out the house and hear that bass line. You just start doing your little cha-cha walk down the block.
You know how to respond.
You know what I'm saying? Your little cha-cha. Let me get a little party mix. Get on the train.
Party mix.
The 25-cent party.
With the fucking cheese doodle and the nacho.
Yeah, everything you want in one bag.
Oh, shit. Oh, indecisive ass nigga. Go ahead and get yourself some pretzels in here. That's funny as shit.
Party mix and get on the train.
A good Bravo party mix.
But you know, another part about last night, like I said, Fat Joe performing. You know, Fat Joe having his renaissance right now. You know,
Fat Joe good for a renaissance. This is about his third one,
no doubt. And that's basically what he was saying. Like at the end of his performance, he basically gave a motivational speech. You know how all the rappers are like motivators now. You know, Khaled. You know what I'm saying? Fat Joe's a motivator. Yeah. You know, Rick Ross sometimes be on his motivational, aspirational.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
Les Brown.
Les Brown rap.
Yeah.
I love Les Brown.
You already know.
Les Brown rap.
Go ahead.
So Fat Joe, you know, he started the performance and he was like, you know, right before he I think he did All the Way Up and then he did it again.
Right.
So but he had a speech in the middle. He was like, you know, they counted me out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Don't let them, never let them count you out. Right. They counted me out this year.
Right.
They said I was gone.
Right.
But look at me.
Look at them. All the way up.
Ran it back. All the way up.
Nothing could stop me.
You know what I'm saying? I'm all the way up.
All the way up.
You know what I'm saying? It's that motivation rap.
You can only motivate them when you're up.
But you know what I'm saying?
When you're down, it's tough.
It's definitely tough to motivate them. It's hard to motivate yourself when you're down. You know what I'm saying? You be listening to other motivational rap.
Yeah, you got to get motivated.
But I think it's a thing right now. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got Chance the Rapper. He almost down there a gospel rapper.
You know what's so funny? I've been seeing that for a while, even well before the Khaled thing. I remember I did Bumbershoot. This shit was like maybe 2009 or something like that. That was years ago, but Big Sean was performing,
mm-hmm.
and he did like 45 minutes. And in the middle of his set, like 20 minutes in his set, he stopped and he spoke to the audience for about good 5 minutes about, mm-hmm. you know, following your dreams, finally famous. This was something I'd always wanted to do. I remember when I was at this point in my career, and I remember when I rapped for Ye, and I remember da-da-da-da-da. And I'm going to tell you, because I used to be just like you in these seats. If you do, like, if you just commit yourself and you put your grind in and you da-da-da-da-da, you could be here like me and mm-hmm. cue applause. And they were like, you know, because inspiration is sexier than a motherfucker, especially from somebody that's winning. And it's easier to inspire people than to give them some money.
No doubt.
You know, but I think it's also a thing, too. I mean, a testimony is great. Testimony sometimes travels further than the song.
Right.
I mean, Khaled is showing you that. Right. Khaled just they, this, that. And he's like, shit, nobody, you know. I don't even know what the fuck I was going to say on that last point. But let me take a sec. But no, what I'm saying is a testimonial will take, like, these people, they resonate with that. They could draw upon that. You know, mm-hmm. like this, I do feel like it feels like with Fat Joe, with somebody in particular like Fat Joe, who people may have counted out,
mm-hmm.
for him to rebound again, he might even feel like he might feel like, I gotta share this, because this shit, like...
But then Fat Joe went to jail, didn't he? He did some months in jail for the tank shit.
But what's wrong with going to jail?
I'm just saying, like, he
can't be inspiring.
No. Not that he can't be inspiring. His testimony is real. He done felt... Shit, the motherfucker coming from driving the Rolls Royce to sitting in a cell.
Right.
That's a long-ass motherfucking leap down to the bottom.
Even somebody that's never driven a Rolls Royce could feel that.
I'm saying.
Yeah,
so,
it's the height of the height.
So, you know what I'm saying, for him to get one more run at it, you know what I mean? Got to feel, you know what I mean?
I feel great.
Got to feel great to have that, damn, okay, I still could get it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I can still get back, no matter how far I fail.
Because it's the moment of also, it's reflection, it's hopefully some gratitude, it's you know, there's the testimony that, you know, I was down and out and now I'm all the way up, right? So it's like, how inclusive is that? That's right. From everybody that ain't got shit to everybody at the top. Look, we all could get part of this.
Right.
It's almost like a big ass hug.
Now, all right. Do you think when he wrote all the way up,
did he believe
how far down do you think he was when he wrote all the way up?
Hilarious.
I don't know.
You know what I'm saying? Because you said it was hard to give motivation when you ain't winning.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, he didn't do the hook. Somebody else did the hook. It's another cat. It's homeboy who did the hook. Sometimes you might need to get that inspiration from outside.
And no doubt.
Nothing could stop us. I'm all the way up. You're like, right, I don't know probably, about you. Believe this?
He probably put the battery in his back. Hey, man.
We all the way
this,
up.
This what you need right here, man. This is what you need. Remy was fresh out of jail.
Right. We got to get up.
You know what I'm saying?
Because that's what I've heard about Fat Joe. I mean, you know, I've heard that he was the guy pre-Khaled, you know, because that's old-timer squad. He was the guy that was motivating him. And it's like Khaled kind of adopted a little bit of that Joe, that motivation talk.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That'll really tap into your soul.
Right,
you
right, know, right.
And on the other thing, not to be cynical, but I also saw a little bit of, it's also a good way to kill some time in the middle of your set. You know what I mean? You might have to do 30. You got a good 20 minutes of material.
But see, at that point, he had already done all the way up. He was already at the end. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it seemed like something that he just be wanting to say. He like, you know what I'm saying? Because he has the testimony. He putting it out there.
Right.
Now, let me ask both of you guys.
Go ahead.
You know what I'm saying? What do you use to get up when you ain't necessarily feeling it, you down?
Oh, man, that's a lot of different shit. Vlad, go first. I know you talk about this a lot. Go ahead.
I would say the one I've learned in my brief experience is that you can't rush it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think we try to fix those. And sometimes you just got to eat the lows, man. Like, if you have a bad set on stage or the business ain't going right, it is, you know, it is what it is. You got to eat it, man. It's like getting a cut. You got to put a Band-Aid on it and wait till that cut to close, you know?
But what steps do you take once, you know what I'm saying, once it start to heal? Like, what steps you take to get back out in the street and up, you know, what, and get back what works up for on me, the mic?
What works for me is, you know, you got to talk to friends who've been through that same pain. To let you know that this pain is transitional. Mm-hmm. Also, I do listen to a lot of Les Brown. I wasn't even joking around about that. I love Les Brown. Mm-hmm. I'm notorious for going on YouTube, and sometimes I go to sleep. I put Les Brown on before I go to bed or some other inspirational talk. I find that if I go to bed with some kind of like real inspirational stuff, like actually I sleep better on some nights.
Because
I go to bed with less worry, and I'm like, all right, you know what? This happens to everybody. This is a normal experience, and I'm just better for it, you know? Because I think part of the healing that you go through in those moments is going through it. That's the healing. I think we try to fix it, but not realizing that going through it is actually what we need to do to grow out of it, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Easier said than done, obviously. But I think for me, you know, I'm in therapy too, so I talk to my therapist, talk to friends. I put a little Les Brown on. I try to go for walks. I think sunshine is good too, man, like not staying indoors too long. Get some sunshine on your face, to quote Richard Pryor.
Mm-hmm.
Vitamin D, man. Go to the gym, you know, hit that gym, work out, get the blood moving, circulating. Clean the house.
Y'all writing this down out there, listeners?
Clean the house, man. Yeah, clean the house. Nothing worse than having low self-esteem and having a messy house.
You feel like you're living in squalor.
You feel like you're living in squalor, man. You got to clean that house.
Boy. All the way down.
At least a functional house. It gives you a sense of like, all right, at least the house is clean.
No doubt. That's a good one.
What do I do? A lot of the same shit. I definitely, you know, you reach out to your people. You know certain people that you talk to that seem to always have that battery. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And certain people that you reach out to, you don't want to exhaust them because you still want them to have that battery when you need it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's those people.
Hilarious.
You know, there's various books to read. You know, like, it depends on what the situation is, right? You know, if it's some career shit or whatever, you might want to read about somebody that was there doing what you did. Or if it's something that you like, I need some inspiration. Mm-hmm. You might want to go to a museum or something. You might, you know, what do I do? I like to listen to rappers when they was like on that hungry level. Like there's certain albums that I tap into when I want to like, when Jay came back with Blueprint, there's a, there used to be a time in college, every time I used to try to change my shit, I would listen to Common's Resurrection because it was a resurrection. Like, it was just very heavy-handed, but I was just like, that shit made me feel like, okay, we could turn this shit over.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Like, there's certain people that know how to talk that shit that just directly connects with your soul. It's like syncing a Bluetooth speaker. You're like, oh, I needed that right there.
Right.
And it might only last for 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. But that's all you needed. That 20 minutes, maybe you wrote some shit to get you to the next level or whatever. You know, whatever little spurt of inspiration you got. But, you know, it's all types of shit to tap into. What you fuck with?
I mean, it's various levels to it. You know what I'm saying? Different places on your way back up or, you know what I'm saying, on your way down. Mm-hmm. That, you know, requires different things. But one thing that I typically do first in any stage is get quiet. You know what I'm saying? And then listen just to what whispers come in my mind first. And I learned that shit really that same summer I came to New York. And I was in the Bronx. And it was kind of like culture shock. I was isolated, you know what I'm saying? Like where I was staying, you know what I'm saying? They wasn't the same, you know what I'm saying? Wasn't the same on the same wavelength as, you know what I'm saying, where I came from.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it was a real like low life situation. But, you know what I'm saying? It was never no place to, it wasn't no internet, so you couldn't just escape. So you just caught up, you in the Bronx, in the South Bronx, you know what I'm saying? There's crazy shit going on around you. You in New York. The shit wasn't really like I thought it would be in the beginning, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, damn, this shit here is crazy as fuck, you know what I'm saying? Then, you know, people, they was trying to put me out. Right. So it was just a weird-ass situation.
Right.
So being alone in a big city, all you really, it really boils down to your thoughts.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yourself. And how you going to work with yourself. And that's the first time I really experienced that. And experienced, you know what I'm saying, just having to just listen to what I got going on in my head as opposed to the outside forces.
Well, articulate that a little bit. When you say get quiet, like what do you do specifically like to kind of tune out? Like what does that mean to you?
You shut the fuck up. Nah. Basically, you be alone. You know what I'm saying? You be alone with yourself. You know what I'm saying? And when you're alone with yourself, not the TV, you know what I'm saying? Not necessarily the radio, not, you know, checking all your social media. It's just you and just disconnecting yourself. At a certain point, it might be in the morning, it might be in the night, might be, you know what I'm saying? But it's certain thoughts that you get, that I get, that I don't get any other time. You know what I'm saying? So right now, from those years, from 92 to now, you know, I perfected it. Not perfected, but I've exercised it. Mm-hmm. So when I wake up, I know that there's certain thoughts in my head that's not going to pop in my head any other time. I get up, I write. I write them thoughts down. I talk to myself in words that, you know what I'm saying, I don't use when I'm talking out loud. You know what I'm saying? So when I read back stuff that I wrote 2 weeks ago, I'm like, damn, I wrote that shit?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But it's words to yourself that, you know, to me come from God. You know what I'm saying? So it's God speak to me. Mm. So I rely on that first. That's my first wave. And then once you see those words giving you the direction where you need to go, then, you know, of course it's your, you know what I'm saying, you surround yourself with people. I always surrounded myself with people who was, you know what I'm saying, moving in directions that inspired me. You know what I'm saying? Just my general circle of people always inspire me. You know what I'm saying? I got people around me that's everybody moving and everybody. Most of them blowing up harder, you know what I'm saying? They way ahead of me right now, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
So it's kind of like you know what I'm saying? We came up, we had that journey where we left Vibe together. You came and you all doing your thing, you know what I'm saying? So you surround yourself with people where you could look at and help them do what they do so it'll help you.
Mm-hmm.
When you help other people do their shit, you know what I'm saying?
It spins kinetic.
That energy spins right back because now you exercising your mind in a way that's productive, in a way that you can see results even when you ain't getting results.
Mm-hmm.
So then you apply that same shit to you and then you start seeing your results and then, you know, it's 360.
Mm.
So that's the shit. That's the main shit that I do. I listen to the music. I read the books. But that's the most important shit.
Then you get quiet.
Get quiet, listen to the thoughts, listen to yourself, talk to yourself. Yeah. Talk that shit self, and then yourself start telling you some shit that you ain't never heard. You like, ooh.
Sometimes I got to tell myself to be, sometimes I got to quiet myself. If I get too quiet, I can hear me in my head. Like, you know what I mean? I don't like being in my head too long. Sometimes I get out the crib. But, you know.
No, you don't stay there. It's a place where you like I said, if it's morning, if it's night, you don't live there. You know what I'm saying? When you live there, that's usually you in the dark space and you trying to figure shit out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But when you to a point where you can hear it, understand it, and then get to the world, that's where it's at to me.
What you do, Chris?
I mean, not to like just echo exactly what Ali's saying, but
then don't do that shit. No,
no, but I think that's the truth, though. I mean, I value alone time, being able to just sit, you know, even if I'm just messing around playing a video game, whatever. But like being able to get by myself and think about the day and just kind of like have thoughts pop into your head of like, right. Oh, remember when that happened earlier today? And then kind of process it, that type of thing.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's incredibly important to do that.
Yeah, because you know what I'm saying, like coming from my perspective, I was out. I'm doing some shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All night, all day, wherever something was popping, I'm trying to be there or I'm trying to make something pop. You know what I'm saying? So it was never a point where I had to just be alone. I had siblings, had a bunch of people living in my house at times, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like you don't never experience your alone time, but to be thousands of miles away in a city where there's millions of people, but it's just you and you don't connect with none of them yet.
Mm-hmm.
That was my first time experiencing that. But then I was able to see the value in it. I think a lot of people don't ever spend time. I know people who don't never spend time with themselves.
No.
They,
I hear you.
Never.
I hear you.
Always like shit. They get home, get quiet, shit, turn on the box, turn on the TV, call somebody, text somebody. You know what I mean? Is you could always get lost in other people's thoughts.
Yeah. Now, that's why I was saying I wanted you to spell it out a little bit, because I don't think some people don't really know how to do it. And then some people, it might not work that well for them.
Right.
You know, everybody has their own thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is about, you know, if you can detach and quiet down. And one other thing I want to add to it, though, is be careful how you talk to yourself when you're talking to yourself. You know what I mean? Like, in the way, like, I can only speak for myself, but like, there's times when you really feeling like you down and you could speak to yourself like a motherfucker that's like a motherfucker that's losing rather than somebody that you want to win. You know, it's a difference. I'm just saying for
particular,
be careful of the language that you use to address yourself. Like, you don't be your own worst enemy. A lot of people love to say, you know, I'm my own worst enemy. You shouldn't be.
But, you know, those are the yells. Those ain't the whispers. You know what I'm saying? Ooh. To me. You know what I'm saying? The whispers is just trying to push you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They trying to tell you something. You know what I mean? You don't let the other voice outshine the other one. It's kind of like the whole point of it is to try to define where you going and where you at. And then don't be scared of the questions either. Don't be scared of, all right, I'm here, because that's the first voice going to be like, damn, how the fuck we get here? This is fucked up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But then the real shit is, how did we get here? Because, you know what I'm saying? And then how do we get out? Because the best way to get out is the tools that's in you. You know what I'm saying? Every problem you have, half of them, you know what I'm saying, you create it in certain moves, certain actions, certain thoughts. You know what I'm saying? So you can use those same tools to get yourself out. Ain't no problem that you can't fix with, you know what I'm saying, the tools that's within you. So you got to use them. You got to bring in the outside sources to help you use them. And then, you know what I'm saying, the whole point of being alone and talking to yourself and being in a space within your head is to push you, not to pull you down. It's to push you forward.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So you've got to find the voice that's pushing you.
Right.
It's somewhere saying, you know what I'm saying, nah, fuck that. You could do this shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's funny about that, man, is that I do have a strong introverted streak to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been hard in relationships, man, because a lot of people don't get it. Like, they'll take it personally sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
My family's been amazing at that since I was a kid. My mother picked up early that I just like to be alone a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And she would never take it personally. She'd just be like, all right, Vlad's doing his thing.
Right.
And then when I'm ready to come back, I'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a connection to your own individual spirituality, what Ali's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's your own connection, your own, you know, whatever the source you want to call it. But like, Ali, I don't know if like, because you got a whole family unit, dude. Like, how is it when you need that alone time, but you got family, you know, family obligations? Like, I want to go for a walk, but you know, my son needs help with
Hey, you got to do all that. That's life. You got to do all that. So you got to figure out how to find that time, and you got to figure out the time to invest in yourself. So that means if I got to outstay up, you know what I'm saying? If I got to stay up longer than them, you know what I'm saying? If I got to wake up earlier than them, you know what I'm saying? But that's always been the case. You're going to always have some daytime distractions with a phone ring. You got to respond to shit. You got to outlast that shit and then use the rest of that time to invest in yourself. I mean, like I said, recently we talked about it before. I've been jumping up before it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And getting ahead of that shit and being up in a space where ain't nobody there. I enjoy that shit. I've always found that shit, even in high school. You know what I'm saying? Fuck it. I got homework, all that shit. Yeah, that shit going to get done, but then I'm going to still do the shit I want to do after that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Talk to who I want to talk to, write whatever,
yeah,
play
man,
whatever.
Yeah, man, because I had to, like, even with the roommates I've had, man, like, it's hard for them to comprehend that, like, I just got to be alone for a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some people just take that personally. They don't really get it. And, like, they think something's wrong. And I'm like, nah, this is just how I operate.
Yeah, no, I could dig that.
You can't tell the kids, you know what I'm saying? You can't really just push them off.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I mean.
You gotta figure out them 24 hours and work and invest in your own self during the hours that you got. You know what I'm saying? If you got a job, 9 to 5, you know what I'm saying, where you can't think about nothing else while you doing that job, then you got to stay up a little later or get up a little earlier. You know what I mean? And get it in, because that's the shit that's going to help you win.
Hmm.
I mean, yeah, because Kevin Hart was on the Breakfast Club last week saying he gets up every day regardless at like 4:30 a.m.
Yeah.
And I was like, oof. Got a lot of shit to do.
Yeah, a whole lot of shit.
You know what I mean?
You know what I'm saying? If he could beat the shit up, then I think I can.
Right.
That's true. What I'm saying. Like, you got to look for those examples. There was a dude today that I saw, 8 years old. He ran a marathon in 4 hours.
How old was he?
You know, I think it was 84.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, good for you.
Yeah, right? No more. Man. I mean, yeah. At some point, you got to understand that certain shit is just not going to be what you do. Just take that inspiration. Let it motivate some other shit.
You know what I mean? Good for you.
Yeah, you got to spin it into what you want it to be.
Right.
And that's all we do anyway.
Yeah.
We spin it to how we want. We spin what Trump say to, you know, our feelings. We just got to spin our shit to the way we want it to go. And believe it and keep moving with it every day.
I hear that. Well, speaking about keeping it moving, why don't we tell the people where we going to be at? Vlad, where you at this week?
So it is a slow week for Vlad. I will be at the Ice House on Thursday night, performing at the Ice House, which is in Pasadena. And then other than that, I'm just taking some meetings. So nothing real show-wise, just the Ice House Thursday night, if anybody's in Los Angeles.
All right. Muhammad, where you at?
Oh, man, shit. My wife's birthday Friday, so we're going to be on that. I'm thinking about sliding down to Howard Homecoming with my oldest son, let him see some of that HBCU experience.
Okay.
So, you know. And then from there, shit, we working. We shooting a flash mob tomorrow. It's a lot going on, man.
You can't say where the flash mob is? It'll fuck it up?
Well, it'll be done by the time they hear it.
What you doing? What kind of flash mob is it?
It's with the artist Spencer Ludwig. And it's going to be downtown, like on Greenwich, right by the World Trade Center down that area.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, new artists on Warner Brothers, you know, get his dance on in the middle of the street.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's what's up. It's pretty exciting.
That's what it is. Y'all going to be at Caroline's this weekend, starting Thursday through Sunday. 6 shows out there. Going to have a good show. It's going to be a good fucking time. Be back in New York. It's been a minute since I've headlined at Caroline's. I'm excited about it. You know, want to make the most of this shit. So make sure if you are a New York City in the conversation list or tri-state area, come out. Get your tickets now. We're trying to sell it out.
All right. Yeah, go ahead. Get the tickets, man.
There it is. And we out.
And the main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production. Powered by digital media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts. And find all of our shows at standuplabs.nyc.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
We out.